morning. We're going to start off with just a picture that I've often said. It's something that was a commercial I seen years ago when I was young, and the commercial simply said this, and the picture says, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I can't even remember what E.F. Hutton did or some type of financial service, but it was just that commercial always stuck with me. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. So I would often say, when God talks, people listen. But the Lord told me that ain't really true. Because he does a lot of talking, and we don't always do a lot of listening. So we got to treat God better than folk treated E.F. Hutton. Because E.F. Hutton is dead and gone. I really don't know much about him other than the commercial. But God is everlasting. And so when he talks, it's time to tune in to what he's saying. So let me, before I move into how we're going to lay this out this morning, let me show you where it happened, where people stopped listening to God. It's actually a demarcation line in the scripture where things shifted dramatically, because the Bible says that Jesus would walk in the cool of the day and he would talk to Adam. Now, of course, after Adam messed up and made a mistake, some changes happened. But there was a clear sign when people stopped listening to God. Let's look at Exodus 20, 18 through 19.
All the people experiencing the thunder and lightning, the trumpet blast, and the smoking mountain were afraid.
I'll stop right there. Exodus 20 is where we get the Ten Commandments. That's where that happens. And so when God was putting his finger on the stone and writing the Ten Commandments, and Moses was doing what he was doing in that moment, there was a lot of things happening. God was coming in his fullness, and so there was thunder, there was lightning, there was smoke, the mountain was shaking. There's a lot of stuff going on. It was God being God. Read.
They pulled back and stood at a distance. They said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we'll die.
They made a decision. Moses, you go to God for us and you talk to God for us, because I don't want God to speak, because they seen him in his holiness. They seen him in his power. When you see God in his power, it ought to scare you. It's good to talk to God like he's your homeboy, like he's your friend, but at the end of the day, he's still God. And when they saw him as God being God, it actually scared them. But they made a tragic mistake. They sent somebody to talk to God for them. In other words, tell God, don't talk directly to us. We're going to have somebody go in between. And that's when the priesthood set up, where in order for God to talk to man, he had to go through somebody else. It was actually a horrible mistake. We understood that they was afraid, but here's the thing. Even if what God is saying scares you, still keep going to him. All right, let's read the next verse. This is in the Message Bible.
Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. I know you see what you see, but one thing I don't want you to, don't be afraid, because God in his power, in his holiness, one thing we know about him, God is love. So even if he's thundering and lightning, he's coming not to hurt you. He's coming to love you. He's coming to heal you. He's coming to help you. It may scare you, but at the end of the day, he's still Abba Father. He's still Daddy God. He's still a good God. He's still an awesome God. He's a mighty God, but he's a loving God. Don't be afraid. Don't run. Read.
God has come to test you and instill a deep and reverent awe within you, so that you won't see.
Oh, now we understand what God was trying to do. He was trying to show them his power, not to scare them from him, but to scare them from sin. In other words, if God is that awesome and he wants me on his team, I'm going to run away from sin and run to God. But what man said, I'm going to run away from God. But the problem is, when you run away from God, you end up getting closer to sin. Let's read the next verse.
The people kept their distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was.
The difference between the people and Moses, the people began to set a distance between themselves and God. Moses drew nearer. Now, Moses was a murderer. So Moses had sinned. Moses was not perfect, but he understood something. Wherever he is where I want to be.
I may be scared. I may be nervous. I may have sin in my life, but I'm going where he is. If he's at Deliverance Temple at 720 East 2nd Street at 11 a.m., excuse me, before 11 a.m., I'm going to be coming to church. Yes, I got some sin, and yes, I got some issues, but I'm not running away from God. I'm running to God because I want to be where he is for your glory, Lord. That's why I sing praises for your glory, Lord. I want to pursue you.
Who was it? It was Aleta Adams that said, you can meet me by airwaves. You can meet me by all kinds of. He said, I don't care how you get there. Just get there if you can. I hear God saying, just get there if you can. You might have to come addicted. You might have to come depressed. You might have to come with sin in your life, but just get there if you can. Don't let nothing stop you from drawing near to God. Because when you draw near to God, often he speaks in a way that changes your life. But this is where it was set up to where if it doesn't look right, I'm going to draw from God. Now, I understand it's not easy. I understand, actually, it was funny, and I don't even want to tell on myself because my boys are back there running the video, so they gonna know this. But last night, I got on them, but I wasn't really upset. We had bought a six-pack of Coke, and so Draylen took off with the six-pack of Coke. I said, where you going? He said, we going to watch movies. I said, not with all six of them Cokes, you not. What are y'all doing? Y'all bring that back. So I put some in the refrigerator. I let him and Dylan get one. And then I went back to the refrigerator, and some Cokes had disappeared. So them jokers and drank 20 ounces back to back. So I went up there to get on them, to let them know. I was like, don't y'all do that. Don't y'all just be running through stuff. But the thing about it is I'm telling them that because it's not good for them. Just be drinking just because it's there. You know how kids will do that. Immature people just take stuff because it's there. Somebody else pay for it. I'm going to take it. But I wasn't really upset. But because I wanted to make my point across, I went to them and I made myself known. I yelled at them, pointed my finger in the face. But I almost got tickled. Because I seen the fear in their eye. And they was like, I said, where them Cokes at? You know how folk get to stuttering when they don't. Who drank that? We did. And so I went out the room and I got tickled. I'm trying to be forceful to train them. But I really wasn't upset with them. I was using my reverence to make them understand, don't play with your daddy. Because your daddy ain't wrapped too tight and you might get in some real trouble. So I was trying to be forceful, but it didn't break my love. Really, it didn't bother me that they had an extra Coke. I'm just trying to teach them a lesson. Sometimes when God is forceful, he's not really that mad. He's just trying to get your attention. So you understand there's some things you ought to do. In other words, you ought to ask. All I wanted them to do was come back and ask me before they took the liberty of taking. That's all I was trying to train them and teach them to do. And since y'all back there running the live, that's what I was trying to train y'all to do. But I had to do it in a forceful manner. Sometimes God will cause a prophetic word to come out that scares you because the pastor is talking stuff and it's like, oh my good, he's talking directly to me. Who told him what I was doing? Didn't nobody tell me what you were doing? God's just trying to get your attention, but don't allow that to make you draw back from him. He's just trying to get you to understand and reverence him. So with that understanding, that's just the setup, just the introduction. For that understanding, here is the title of the message, Speak Lord. Somebody say, Speak Lord. So we're in a season of life where we have to depend on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I cannot run the risk of being scared of him and distancing myself from him because I need to hear everything he's saying. There's a lot going on in the world, in your life. There's a lot going on, and it seems to be so rapid, such a rapid pace. You can be dealing with your mortgage. You can be dealing with your body being sick. You can be dealing with your kids. All that's going on, and we might end up in a war on top of that.
The economy is going good, but it can turn tomorrow. You just don't know what is happening. The people that we attack, they could put bombs here. Somebody could blow up a plane when you're trying to get somewhere. There is a lot going on. So how do you stay above the waters? You need God to speak. I need to know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, who I'm supposed to be talking to, who am I supposed to be distancing myself from. I'm not going to distance myself from you, God, but there are some people I might need to be distancing myself from. There's some stuff I need to be doing. Yes, you have sick days, and you normally save all your sick days to December. But one day God may say, use a sick day now. Well, I don't never do that. Do it. You don't know if somebody's going to shoot on your job that day. Do whatever is thus saith the Lord. I'm always reminded of September 11th. They said people just woke up and said, you know what? I just don't feel like going to work. That don't mean a lot to some of y'all because y'all don't feel like going to work anytime. I'm not talking about lazy people. I'm talking about people who normally go to work all the time and just felt something inside themselves, heard something. No, not today. And they're so grateful they're still living today because they heard the voice of the Lord. Speak, Lord.
All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 20.
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision.
No, so we're in 2020, and we've kind of talked about 2020 vision. But it's interesting that in this particular passage, it ties vision with hearing. It says that the word of the Lord was rare, and there was no frequent vision. In other words, the prophetic people couldn't see. And because they couldn't see, they also couldn't speak. And it's scary that in the nation of Israel, the word of the Lord was actually rare. And sometimes in the house of God, the word of the Lord is actually rare. Because we just want to get something to get people to dance and shout and go back out and live the hell life we've been living. No, I want to hear a word from the Lord. And I want to have a prophetic vision. And so we've been talking to you about prophetic vision that also causes us to speak. And so this is very important. And if you know anything about the previous chapter, the reason why the word of the Lord was rare, because the leaders was acting a fool. Eli's sons, if you look in chapter 2, it said they were laying with the women when they were coming to do the offerings and what they were doing. They were laying and sleeping with who they wanted to sleep and just being willy-nilly and just being out there under the guise of the church, even though it wasn't the church in Israel's day, but that still goes on in 2020 in churches all across the country and even all across the world. People using the church to be foolish. That's not going to be here, not because I'm so special. I'm scared of God because I know who he is, and I'm not coming up here to play games. Doesn't mean I'm a perfect person, but I am pursuing. And so I want to hear from God. And when I don't hear from God, I get nervous. Now, let me tell you something I've been dealing with personally lately. And I even told God just yesterday, is God speaks to me for messages. He speaks to me to encourage somebody else. He speaks to me to talk to somebody else. But sometimes I want God to speak to me for me. When I'm talking to you about my stuff, you are silent. But when it comes time to preach to people, you give me a word. God, I don't want a word for them. I want a word for me. So when I say speak, Lord, I'm saying the same thing for myself. But sometimes God wants you to trust what he's already told you. That's what God is saying. I've already told you some stuff, so trust that. But even in the trusting what he told me or the vision I have, I want God to speak from that place. So never get in a place where you don't want God to speak. All right, let's look at verse 2.
At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim.
Now, Samuel was serving Eli, and this is also prophetic, and Eli's vision had begun to grow dim. His natural eyes had grown dim, but the problem is when your leader's eyes grows dim, it hinders the voice of the Lord for the people who are under him.
So I love y'all and y'all love me, but if I start losing my prophetic vision, I give you permission to leave the church, because it'll hurt you to stick with somebody who's not seeing what God wants them to see. Because if I'm not seeing what God wants me to see, I won't be saying what God wants me to say. And if you're listening to the Lord, you will know when I got off. You wouldn't just follow me like Jim Jones. You would know something's wrong with him. He talking about sleeping with my wife, something wrong with him. I don't care how anointed he is. He done gone crazy. Bye-bye, Deliverance Temple. Bye-bye, Andre. Bye-bye, Devin. Bye-bye, Royce. Bye-bye, Joyce. Y'all doing something wrong. And I give you permission to walk away. Before you walk away, pray for us and hopefully try to talk to us and change our mind. But the problem is a lot of folk, they just sit up under stuff. Well, that's my pastor. If he wrong, he wrong. But that's my bishop. If he wrong, he wrong. If he's not seeing what God wants him to see, he won't be saying what God wants him to say. And you don't need to hear your pastor. You don't need to hear your bishop. You need to hear from the Lord. Amen. Now, as long as the Lord is speaking through them, connect with them and support. But the moment they get off, then you need to change. Now, let me flip it on you. See, the moment I see you getting off, it's my job to come to you and talk to you about you. Some of y'all like me as long as I'm not talking to you about you. But when I'm talking to you about you, I'm not getting fed at that church. Yeah, you're not getting fed what you want to eat. Because when I was little, I didn't want no broccoli. Give me sugar all day long. But sugar all day long is not going to help me. I need some broccoli. I need some Brussels sprouts. I need some stuff that I don't want. You ever try to feed a kid and they spit it out? You know what you do? You scoop it off their lip and shove it back on in there. I'm giving you some stuff you don't want to hear. I'm going to talk about tithing. I don't want to hear about that in the church. Well, until we are blessed the way we need to bless, I'm talking about tithing. I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about a lot of stuff, because I'm speaking what thus says the Lord. Not what I want to hear. Let me pick on Alan. Well, Alan don't want to hear that. Well, I'm not here for Alan. I'm here for God. And I'm here for thus saith the Lord. Read.
At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place.
That's something. When you stop seeing, you start laying in the same place. And there is no movement once you stop seeing and hearing and speaking what God wants you to speak. Next verse.
The lamp of God had not yet gone out.
I love this verse. The lamp of God. It means literally the lamp of God hadn't gone out. But prophetically, that sometimes God, he tries to the last minute to get something to turn around. In other words, the anointing had not left. Even though they was messing up and cutting up, God still had a plan for them. And that's why at any moment you can turn toward God and he can fix it, as long as the lamp hasn't gone out. But baby, when the lamp goes out, when the oil is gone, when God lifts the anointing off of a person, that is trouble, trouble, trouble. And in this place, the lamp had not yet gone out. Now, I'm going to jump real quick to Samson in my mind and just tell you this. One of the things that scares me about Samson is the Bible says he got up and he shook himself after Delilah cut his hair. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was no longer on him, and he didn't know. He didn't know it wasn't on him, and he didn't know when it left him. In comparison, the Bible says Jesus, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, he knew immediately power had left for me. He knew the moment it left Samson, the whole Spirit of God had lifted off of him, and he had no clue. He was ready to fight like he always fought and got defeated. You ought to know when something is lifting off of you. You ought to know when the lamp is going out. You ought to know when the oil is getting stale. You ought to know when something is different about your anointing and different about your joy and different about your peace, and you can't praise like you used to praise. That's when you got to holler, "Speak, Lord. Something is happening in my life. I don't know if I did it. I don't know if the devil did it, but something's wrong. Something is happening. I don't have the joy I used to have. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hear no scriptures. I don't like anybody. I don't even like myself." Before you keep going down that path, speak, Lord. I don't want to backslide. And then once I'm way back there, realize, you know what? I never should have left you, God. No, no, no. The moment I start slipping back, I want to reach out and say, "Speak, Lord." And you ought to pray that sometimes I don't preach a happy message. You ought to pray that I preach a message that whoops your hind end that gets you together. You ought to pray. You shouldn't want your ear tickled every time you come to church. You shouldn't want to shout every time you come to church. You shouldn't even want to say amen. Sometimes you should be able to sit in silence and say, God, he's working on me. But thank you for speaking to me, Lord. Because one word from God can change your entire situation. Read.
And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was.
The anointing of God was there, but he was still lying down. Verse 4.
Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am.
Samuel said, here I am. Who called Samuel? The first we've been talking about Eli, and it says Samuel was the boy, so Samuel was serving Eli. Eli was the leader. Samuel was submitted to Eli, but God passed over Eli and began to speak to Samuel. Remember, Eli, his vision had gotten dim, but he jumped over him and spoke to Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am. Next verse.
And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you call me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down.
So Samuel heard and said, here I am, but he ran to Eli thinking that Eli called him. Sometimes when you're young in the Lord, God is speaking stuff to you and you don't really understand that it's God speaking to you. So the scripture says, try the spirits and see if they be of God. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody. You know what? I've been hearing this. And find out if what you're hearing is based on the fact you ate too many greens and chitlins the night before. Is that why you're hearing stuff in your dream? Or maybe God is saying something to you. It's good to have somebody to run to and talk it out. I'm hearing something. And it's time for us to start hearing from the Lord. Read.
And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again.
Thing goes again. One thing I like about this is that the Lord called again. Sometimes we think God only gives us one chance and then quits on us. No, God gives a lot of chances. He's a God of a second chance. Now, if you've gone through a whole bunch of chances, sometimes your time can run out and then you have to be challenged and chastised. But normally, God keeps trying. Think about you before you became saved. Think about all the times that God was trying to get to you and all the things that you heard. And then really, you know, after you get saved and get delivered, you realize, you know what? God was after me all the time. He was calling me all the time. And let me jump on this real quick. That's why you cannot try to be Holy Ghost and mess with all your loved ones. Pray for them and let God speak to them. Because sometimes God is speaking to them and you're interrupting with all your talk. Well, you need to do this. You need to go. Just shut up and let God speak. Because when God speaks, he gets attention. He knows how to get attention. He can get attention through a car wreck. Sometimes he can get attention through a lost job. He can get attention through a failed relationship. And you're always trying to run in there and stop everything and pray for my son. He lost his girlfriend. Your son needed to lose his girlfriend. God's trying to talk to him, and he needs you to get out of his way so he can speak. And then many times your son, your daughter, your loved one going to come running to you, and then this is what you have to say. Let's continue to read. Wherever we were in the next verse.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him.
Now, it's beautiful. Samuel was in the temple working under Eli, but the scripture says he did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed. So here's the thing. Once you get revelation, you begin to know the Lord. You can be coming to this church and still not know the Lord. But you can't stay at this church and still not know the Lord, because God will reveal himself to you. That's why we're called Deliverance Temple, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He will reveal himself to you. So Samuel was right where he needed to be. Just because you don't know everything you need to know does not mean you do not need to come to church. No, come to church. With your lack of knowledge, I don't know the scriptures Pastor Andre know, and I can't quote them like he quote, so I ain't coming to church. That's the dumbest thing you can say. Come to church. Keep on coming in until it can get in you. Yeah. I heard somebody tell this story. It was a pastor out there. It was from Fort Wayne. He's now in Houston, Texas. And he was talking. His name is Pastor Keon. He's saying that another preacher in Fort Wayne told him this. He said frogs, they need water to survive. Frogs need water to survive, but frogs don't drink water. They need water to survive, but they don't drink water. And so Pastor Keon asked this older pastor, he said, well, how do the frogs get the water? He said that frogs, when they are in the water, they absorb the water that they need. So as long as they stay in the water, they get what they need. And he told him, the older pastor told Pastor Keon, I don't care what you don't have in your life. If you stay in the water, if you stay in the church, if you stay connected to God, you may not be able to drink the deliverance you need. You may not be able to drink all the stuff you need, but get in the house of God, get in the water of God, get in the word of God. And what's in the water and what's in the word and what's in the church will get into you and you'll have what you need. Well, I smell like alcohol. I can't come to church. Baby, you need to come to church, because even though you have alcohol in you, when you sit under the word of God and you sit under somebody that has a prophetic vision and the oil of God is here, just sitting here will change your life. Lord, no. You don't understand. You think you can only come here on Sunday morning to get a word. Baby, if you come on a Tuesday and we're not having no mic and we don't have no lights and we're just talking the word of God, it'll still change your life. If you come here on a Wednesday, actually we have Bible study on a Wednesday. If you come here on a Friday and there's nobody here and somebody opens the door for you and you just come and get on the altar and say, God, I need you. What is in this building will get down in your spirit. Whatever you do, don't stop coming to the house of God. Whatever you do, don't get away from the word of God. Whatever you do, don't stop listening to the preaching of God, because even though you can't drink it all, baby, it'll get in you. I didn't understand back in the day when we tell mama, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, I'm sick, we'll come to church. They'd put you on the back bench, cover you up, and let you sleep in church. Well, why didn't I sleep in my bed? Because there was an anointing in the church. And even though I was asleep, there was something happening in the building that was getting in my body. I'm not against children's church. I love children's church, but every now and then, bring them in the sanctuary and allow the anointing of God to saturate who they are. And they'll have something they didn't know they had, because the power of God has a way of saturating you. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but he was in the right place. Somebody say, I'm in the right place. I don't have it all, but I'm in the right place. I got some addictions, but I'm in the right place. I made some mistakes, but I'm in the right place. Deliver Simple is the right place for you. 1 Samuel 3:8. Or did you finish all of 7?
Yes.
All right, go to 8.
And the Lord called Samuel again the third time.
Third time.
And he arose and went to Eli and said.
Let me stop right there. The third time. God has used 3 all throughout scripture. It's something about that third time. It's something about that third time that resurrects it. Sometimes you may go after this. You may have to go after that. And it keeps failing. But that third time, that next time, God can do something. Read.
Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy.
It took Eli a while to perceive, because Eli had gotten so dim. A real leader would have caught it. It took Eli 3 times, but Eli finally recognized the Lord is calling the boy. And sometimes leaders don't want to recognize it, because many times God is calling their replacement. And so they try to be dim. That's why I love my father, because even though I wasn't necessarily thinking about pastoring, I was thinking about doing ministry, he perceived that God was going to do something through me and gave me the opportunity and gave me the chance. You ought to thank God for a leader that is not so scared that he hides the mic from you. But no, come on. If God's doing something in your life, we want to hear what you got to say. But also, let me say this, I had proven myself. When no fly by night, I was at church. I was there. I was a good tither, a good giver. You don't just give somebody that is not doing anything. You don't just give them the reins of anything. They have to prove themselves. When people are proven, you don't mind trusting them. I've been trying to build some of our ministers and leaders, because I know God is working in them and we're trusting in them. But I can perceive God is doing something. I perceive God doing something in you too. Because not every one of y'all is going to grab the microphone. That is not your calling. But some of your calling is out there in the street. Sometimes your calling is in the mall. When everybody's walking, you walking. And while you're walking, you're praying for the joints of every old person walking in front of you, because you got an anointing on your life. And no, the church may not know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing, and he's called you for such a time as this. Get up and do what God has called you to do. Hear the word of the Lord. Tell God, God, speak to me and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Well, I don't ever get to preach at that church. Maybe you're not supposed to preach at this church. Maybe God's got something else for you. Maybe you're supposed to preach in your neighborhood. Maybe the preaching God wants you to do is stop being the only person in the neighborhood with grass 3 feet high. Cut your grass and clean up around your house and preach to your neighborhood that way. Maybe God wants to preach to you by telling you to take off them pajama pants every time you go out the house and put on some right and take them rollers out of your head and act like you a child of the living God. There's several ways to get people's attention, and it's not all through the microphone. But however God wants to use you, you just say, speak, Lord. Sometimes it's on your job. God gave you that job. The job sometimes drives you crazy, but you anointed for it. Nobody can do. I don't know why I always wish. Yeah, where Krista at? I don't know why I always. Every time I think about this, I think about you. But the job you have, I know it's stressful, but you're anointed for that. Can't nobody do it like you do it. So when you get up in the morning, just keep reminding yourself, nobody can do what I do because I've been placed here to do this. It's definitely, you would have to talk to her. It's definitely not an easy job to what she does. Not easy at all, but she's anointed for it. God brought her to for such a time as this. And not just her, but because I know her situation, but some of you other people, the things that you're in that seem so hard for you, God anointed you for it. And you can do it. Read.
Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
Speak, Lord. Now, the title of the message is Speak, Lord, but this adds something extra. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. In other words, I'm going to serve you, God, because some of the things that you speak, not always what I won't do. But because I'm your servant, if you speak it, I'm going to do it. If you say it, I'm going to line up. When God told me, it's you need to come out of college in order for me to do what I want to do in your life. He actually gave me two options. He said you could either go through college and come out and be saved. But if you want a higher place in me, you need to leave now. Man, I was between the two and I was like, but I was messed up in school. My mind was messed up. I had got away from church. I got away from God. God was he'd done something to me. I had rededicated my life. But it was something about that leave now. If I want a higher place in him, leave now. I couldn't take the chance of just going through college, finishing, and just being mediocre. I said, God, I want the higher place in you. So he said, you want to leave now. I got to tell my parents. I got to tell my family. I got to tell them I'm leaving. That's not an easy conversation. I'm not going back to school, and I need to stay at your house. I don't got no money, no job. But God's talking to me. Thank God for parents that heard God, that seen something in me and gave me a chance to walk out what I felt like God was doing. And here I am now, and God has called me to write books, and I've preached on 3 different continents because God knew what he was doing. But I had to be a servant. And it was hard because I had just came from all the mess I was in, and God had just turned me around. And within a month, he's talking about, I want to use you to speak my word, and I need you to leave. And I'm like, maybe I'm going crazy, but God was speaking, and God was doing something in me. But guess what? Even though my family finally caught on, not everybody around me caught on. Not everybody around me liked what I was doing. Remember one time we were going to a youth group. I was back home from college. It was around the winter time. And there was somebody else who was over us, all the youth. And that person called me and said, it's cold outside. It's snowing. What do you think we should do? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, should we cancel it or not? I said, we should probably pray about it. But I guess if I had to say something, I would say, we'll cancel it. And so she ended up canceling. And then it got to me. All the young folks said, who do you think you are to cancel the youth meeting? I was like, I didn't cancel the youth meeting. She asked me my opinion. You think you so much, and you think we follow you. And I never said that, but even in their rebuke of me, they saw something on me. And they were scared by what they saw on me because God was pushing me out. And I had to go to God and say, God, it's not fair. People are walking out on me. And people are saying I'm too radical. And people are saying I'm trying to take over. That's not what God want. I'm trying to do. God, this ain't fair. God said, just keep following me. Everybody that talked about me have all had to come back and ask me to pray for them. Because when you follow God, God will put you in a place that everybody who thought wrong about you will have to say, God is on that person. All right, let's read some more.
And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears.
Look, read the top of that verse again.
And the Lord came and stood.
Wow. The word of the Lord was rare, but God wanted to get a word so strong. The Bible says, and the Lord came and stood. Some of y'all are going to experience the presence of God like you've never experienced it before. Outside of the church, it's okay. It's easy to feel God here. I'm talking about where he's standing by you. And you feel something. Something is in this room and something is in this car and something is on my job. I feel something. I'll never forget this. I was working at the glass factory, and I had this job where I had to put this cardboard in this thing, and I put the cardboard in the thing, and the thing would make noise. And I remember my dad would talk about sometimes his machines would sound like it was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the same thing was happening to me, and I was putting the thing in, and every time it crunched, it sounded like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reminding me of what my dad said. But then in the moment, God hit me, and I looked around. I was in an empty space by myself. And I was like, I got to praise God for real. But I was scared to just praise him because I don't want anybody to ride up on me and see what I'm doing. So there was a little space behind the machine. I took that little cardboard and set it up on both sides so nobody would find me. But I went behind that machine and I praised God. And the power of God was falling on me. I could hear and feel God because God was standing trying to get my attention. And let me let you know, in 2020, God wants to stand and speak to you. And I want you to hear and feel God like you've never felt him in your life. I don't want you just to hear what Bishop Jake said and Bishop Mitchell and Pastor Mitchell, and all these are awesome men, but God wants to speak to you. Undeniable, man, God speaking. I'm not always talking about an audible voice. I've only heard God audible maybe once or twice in my life. Most of the times, it's just a feeling. It's something down in my spirit. It's just something I know. But I know when the presence of God is around. If you've never been driving in your car and had God fill up the car to where you almost have to pull off the road because he's in the car so thick and so strong, I want you to experience God beyond the four walls of the church. I want you to feel God in a way you've never felt. And once you feel him and once you see him and once you sense him, I want you to say, speak, Lord. Because God's not coming to stand not to say anything. He's coming out. Now, sometimes he doesn't say anything, but you can hear what he's saying even in his silence. Sometimes silence will speak to you, but we need to hear the voice of the Lord. Somebody say, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Let's continue to read.
Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.
I'm about to do something that when people hear it, it's going, oh my God, this is something. Have you ever been in a service where you heard something that almost made your ears tinkle? Like, yeah, I know it. I may not be able to see it, but that word is for me. He said, I'm about to do something where everybody's going to see it and hear it. Do you know before God comes back, there's going to be a revival that hits the world where people are going to hear things that they've never heard. It's going to drive them to the house of God. Well, why would he do that without talking to us first? Because how are we prepared to bring them in? How are we prepared to help them if we don't hear first? So what God was saying, I know what the leadership has done. I know what Eli and his sons have done, but I'm about to speak something in Israel. And Samuel, I'm going to talk to you and do it through you. What if God says, I want to start the revival through Deliverance Temple?
Well, you know, we don't have every seat filled, and we don't always do this, and we don't always have this kind of money. Do you realize that the Azusa Street Mission was one of the smallest little missions, but God hit that place, and people from all over came in the 1906 in the Azusa Street Mission. Don't underestimate what God can do when people come on one accord and they hear from God. If Azusa Street Mission sounds foreign to you, when you go home, Google Azusa Street Mission and just see what happens. Many things that we are doing today started in 1906 in a little building when people came and God moved and touched the whole world. God can do it in Muncie. He can do it in Camac. He can do it in your house. God is awesome. He can do something that will make the ears tingle all over the world. So speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. All right, continue to read.
On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end.
I've been waiting, but now I'm going to deal with him. Read.
And I declared to him.
Let me stop right there. I just heard this in my spirit. So in Eli, we don't understand what that means maybe in our day and age, but I heard God say it this way. He's going to deal with all them pastors, priests that's been molesting kids and doing it under the guise of the church. God going to turn it upside down. He's given the church government and the government a chance to do it right, and they keep trying to skirt stuff under the issue, but God going to overturn stuff. Doing that kind of foolishness in the house of God. God going to turn it around and put people with a real heart. And they're going to drive this thing. It's no longer just because you put on clergy collar that makes you something. God said, I'm going to strip stuff from folk. And we need to be in a position that when he strips it from somebody else, he can anoint us with what he takes from them. I'm not happy that he had to take it from them. But if they're doing wrong and they don't plan on repenting, they don't need to be anointed. God, send the anointing our way. And some people would die on spot. And when people die, their mantle does not go to heaven. People's anointing is not for heaven. You don't need to be anointed in heaven. Some people will die and still make it to heaven, but the anointing will be left, and we need to be picking some of that stuff up. Some people are not going to die because they've done anything bad or wrong. They're going to die because they've done something good. They're just going to transition on out of here. But their anointing, we're going to say, I'm picking it up. I want it. I want the anointing. I want the anointing. I wonder who picked up Martin Luther King's anointing after he got shot in the streets. I wonder who said, I want to take that mantle. I want what God wants from me. Let's read some more.
And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew.
Here's the thing. It wasn't something that snuck up on him. He knew and did nothing about it. Let me say that again. He knew and did nothing about it. Let me say it again. He knew. We're not talking about you struggled and you made some mistakes and you're coming to God and saying, God, help me. You didn't talk to people. We're talking about the stuff you know about and keep on hiding because God's using me and I'm singing on the praise team. Keep playing with God if you want to. Read.
Because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them.
My father is in the house. My mother's in the house. I am, and in many ways, I am their pastor, but they're still my overseer. So if they allow me to just go and be ignorant and be foolish, you know who's going to get in trouble? I'm going to get in trouble, but they're going to get in trouble too. Pull his coattail. No, don't let that go on. And some people, they want to keep it in the family so much, they let anything go on. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Draylen and Dylan. No, Draylen and Dylan need to sit down. Well, that's baby Alana. Baby Alana need to sit down. We cannot put family above the work of
Amen.
God. And if that goes for us, Mitchells, it goes for y'all too.
Amen.
Oh, man, I don't mean to get off on this. But in this day and age, you can't correct people's kids like you used to. In the other day and age, you can correct people's kids. You can whoop people's kids. I don't suggest you whoop folks' kids in this day and age. But some of y'all with kids that you know are bad, stop getting offended when somebody try to help you.
Amen.
You know you can't control him. Let somebody help you. Don't get an attitude. Let me get off of that. Because I ain't talking about nobody here. I'm talking about folk in TV land. I ain't talking about nobody here right now. Read.
Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.
I don't have time to get into that, but God was always trying to atone for people's sins. But in this case, he said, I'm not even gonna fix this up. They're going to have to rest in what they've been doing. Verse 15.
Samuel lay until morning.
He laid and allowed that thing to hit, lay till the morning. One thing you need to do when God speaks, don't just run and tell it too quick. Lay with it. Let God tell you exactly what he's trying to say. Because sometimes he speaks in parts. And if you only get a part of it, you're going to mess some stuff up. He speaks in part. God is speaking marriage. Marriage. But he's talking about marriage between Christ and the church. And you run out and buy a wedding dress. And you grab the first person you see. Slow down, baby. Let him keep lay with what he's speaking. Deal with it. Sometimes you need to take and get a piece of paper and journal. Write down what he's speaking and talk over it. But God will be showing things to you. You put puzzle by puzzle, piece by piece. It'll come and you'll see the full vision of what God is talking. Read.
Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli.
Read verse 16.
But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am.
Verse 17.
And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you.
Eli had enough sense to know something that God said is about me. And Samuel, whatever he tells you to say, you need to say it. Even if it hurts my feelings, you need to say it. In my position, some of y'all have known me since I was in diapers. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I don't need to say what God says say. Mm-hmm. Just because, well, you know, they may have changed my diaper. I'm glad you changed my diaper, but this is what God is saying to you right now mm-hmm. through me. It's my job. And it's not always an easy job to have to stand up and do that. But when God gives you something, I don't care how old and seasoned they are. If you know it's from God, you need to give it. Amen. You need to speak it. You need to say it. And the wise ones will say, they will sit and listen. let me jump on this real quick. Some of you guys who are in situations where you're taking care of your parents and your parents are older, and sometimes your parents are older, may be stubborn. Sometimes you got to tell them what's right for them. And they don't want to take the medicine. You got to make them take the medicine. Because in that moment, you are what they need. So even though you are the daughter or the son, sometimes you have to do what's best for them. Amen. Because God gave it to you. You can't say, well, that's mama. Mama don't want to do it. If you want mama to keep living and you want daddy to keep living, step up and do what is right.
Amen.
Mama and daddy don't want to have a will. Mama and daddy don't want to talk about the gravesite. Mama and daddy don't want to. Listen, if y'all going to be fighting at the funeral, let mama and daddy do what they want. But if you want to have some stuff and don't want to be fighting at the funeral, you need to talk to mama and daddy about life insurance and stuff. Because okay. There's some stuff is truth. Even if it comes in a way you don't like it, truth is truth. Okay. Sometimes truth hurts. But sometimes God raises you up to be the one to say the truth. And people will love you later for it because God told you to tell it. All right, let's read. I'm going to close on a better note than this. I'm just trying to let this sink in. Read.
So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him.
I love that about Samuel. Samuel was a boy, but he told him everything and didn't hide nothing. He told him the truth. Now let me jump back on this parent thing. Let me talk. When I'm thinking parents, I'm thinking older parents. Let me talk to you, some of you younger people, maybe in your 18, 20, 23, 24, 25. Sometimes you need to talk to your parents, and your parents need to talk to you. Sometimes you guys need to sit and just talk it out. In other words, it's not always about being mad when mama won't let me do this and you're upset. Sometimes you just need to sit and talk. And you speak your mind and they speak their mind. And sometimes you'll find out you're not as far off as you think. Sometimes good speaking, good talking, good communication can change a whole lot. Married folks, sometimes you need to get back to talking again. Instead of doing talk, let's talk this out. Tell me how you see it. I may not agree with you, but tell me how you see it. We would be in a much better place if Republicans and Democrats could at least talk it out. I may not like who you like. I may not see it the way you see it, but let's talk it out. Let's stop assuming we know everything and talk it out. And when we speak truth one to another, you know what happens? We all grow. All right, let me jump off of that. All right, enough of that. I like it. It's quiet in here, but I believe it's sinking in.
And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.
Eli understood it was the Lord. Let's read verse 3, 19 to 20. This is the last verse.
And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord.
He grew in the voice of the Lord. And God let none of the words that Samuel speak fall. God was with him. And everybody knew that the prophetic anointing was on his life. As God begins to speak to you and you begin to listen, you begin to cry out, God speak to you. What's going to happen? He's going to raise you up and people around you are going to know. And when God really begins to talk to you, people are going to be coming to you asking you stuff. Tell me what you see about me. It's going to come. It's going to happen. You're going to start dreaming stuff and you ain't even going to want to dream it. And folk are going to call you that you dreamed about. And God's going to tell you, tell them what you dreamed about. God's going to show you stuff. Don't be scared of it. Don't be afraid of it. Some of the stuff he showed you, you're not going to want to see, but you need to see it. In other words, I need you to help me pastor this church. Everybody don't want to hear me talk to them about their sex life. But God gave you a dream. You go talk to them for me and tell them what you see. And don't tell them in a heart of love, because sometimes you've been doing junk too. But tell them in a heart of love. But tell them what you see so we all can grow. So when I come in here, I can just preach free. Tell them what you see. Speak. Now, because it's one of these somber messages, God gave me something to close this out with. And as I'm closing out, I'm going to close it out in a more jubilant way, as if I'm kind of preaching a little bit. I'm going to close it out that way because I woke up in the morning and I'm hearing God say it this way. But I had to set up everything else before. But this is how I'm going to close it. I'm going to put this up. When God speaks a word. Somebody say, when God speaks a word. We're going to say it two more times. When God speaks a word. One more time, when God speaks a word.
When God speaks a word.
This is how he gave it to me. When God speaks a word, demons tremble. When God speaks a word, hearts change. When God speaks a word, minds are regulated. When God speaks a word, peace enters a room. When God speaks a word, pain is erased. When God speaks a word, time stands still. When God speaks a word, joy erupts like a volcano. When God speaks a word, anxiety dies. When God speaks a word, panic has to cease. When God speaks a word, depression has to flee. When God speaks a word, blessings will abound. When God speaks a word, encouragement will increase. When God speaks a word, our lives will be made whole. When God speaks a word, he turns things around. When God speaks a word, he advances time. When God speaks a word, he erases cancer. When God speaks a word, he takes care of sugar diabetes. When God speaks a word, he cancels debt. When God speaks a word, he works over foreclosure. When God speaks a word, he causes the single to be married. When God speaks a word, HIV has to go. When God speaks a word, money has to come. When God speaks a word, happiness has to come. When God speaks a word, love has to abound. When God speaks a word, speak a word, Lord. Speak a word, Lord. Speak a word, Lord. Speak a word, Lord. Speak a word till our minds are right. Speak a word till our hearts are right. Speak a word till our lives are right. Speak a word till our marriages are right. Speak a word till our families are right. Speak a word till our kids are right. Speak a word, Lord. Come on, stand to our feet. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. He's going to speak it. He's going to speak it. He's going to speak it. Not just on Sunday morning when I'm preaching, but he's going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. And when he talks to you, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Bump all that. When God speaks, I listen. Somebody say that. Say, when God speaks, I listen. We're going to say it again, but we're going to introduce our name in it. So I'm going to say it first so you understand. When God speaks, Andre listens. Now we're going to say it again. You put your name in it. When God speaks, Andre listens. Yes. And final thing we're going to say it with me. When God speaks, DT listens. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear gracious Heavenly Father,